by the word presented, and Father, by the word portrayed, we ask that you'd be honored and lifted up. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So from the very foundation of the world, Jesus existed. Bible says that he was with God and he was God. And all things came into being by him and his word. And I'm just so captivated with Christmas simply because of the coming of Jesus. And we've been in a series, if you're new to us, a Christmas series by which we began to look at the characters of Christmas. And we saw Zacharias and Elizabeth and how he struggled to believe that God could give him a baby in their old age. And yet John the Baptist would come. And then we saw Mary and how Mary believed immediately the word of God. And her question was not in unbelief. It was, God, how are you going to do this? I'm just a virgin. And he explained it to him. But the Holy Spirit of God coming upon her, that this holy child would be named Jesus and he'd save his people from his sins, from their sins. And you know, I think about Mary and I just think about all that went through that young mind, Lord, you know, but just, and yet faithful even to Jesus' death. Mary, one of the first believers who would believe the promise of God. You know, we think about just Joseph and the courage that he had to hear the word and obey the word, who secretly thought that he would divorce her because she was with child and he knew he wasn't his. He knew that the child was not his. And yet, scripture says the angel came and said, don't fear, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. What she's conceived is from God. And the Bible says that he told me, he said, look, Mary, and then name him Jesus. And the Bible says when he got up from his sleep, he immediately obeyed. And a couple of more times he would do that. He would immediately obey God. So Joseph trusted and obeyed. We call that Christmas courage. Today, I want to read to you the Christmas story, chapter 2 of Luke. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ, that's Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and then see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard wondered at the things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God, for all of them had heard, all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. 8 days later, Jesus would be circumcised. And then after a period of cleansing, they'd go to the temple to present him. And then after that, at some point, not sure, folks think at least maybe from 2 years, maybe when Jesus was 2, the wise men appeared, searching for Jesus, the king, to do one thing, and that's to worship him. And here's that story.
Christmas story. But so many people never make the connection that by the time we come along, it's a couple of years after Jesus' birth. Why were we late? Well, it was not because we refused to ask for directions. How hard can it be to move three guys on camels, you may ask? Have you ever ridden a camel? I knew it. In truth, we were right on time. Led by the star, we were following. It just takes a while to move so many people with all the gifts we were bringing. I would, however, right from the start, like to clarify a couple of errors found in your song, We Three Kings. First, we are magi, not kings. We are Persian priests born into the priesthood of the Medes. Today, you would call us Kurds. When Darius the Great joined the Mede and Persian empires, he saw that our ancestors had an extraordinary knowledge, a religious knowledge, and were very skilled in the interpretation of dreams. He gave them religious and governmental authority in Persia. Darius appointed someone you may have read about in your Bible, Daniel, to lead our ancestors. It was he who is the reason I am here right now, telling you this story. He worshipped the one true God. He told our ancestors to look for the sign in the heavens, the star, the coming of King of all kings, the Messiah, the King of the Jews. We have been watching, waiting for 600 years. During this time, our ancestors became sought after in matters pertaining to the running of cities, governments, and global empires. The other Magi and I are members of the Council of Magi Stains. Use the term Magi Strait. As Magi, our main duty, interestingly enough, is the choosing and election of kings and rulers. Thus, we are not kings, but we are kings makers and kings choosers. Second, there were way more than three of us. My guess is that if we added together all our families, servants, and the cavalry we hired to ensure safe passage, there were hundreds that made the journey. We had tents, cattle, goats, and sheep we use for food along the way, plus quite a supply of grains, oils, and wines. We were also bringing gifts for this newborn king. We had gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We created quite a stir when we entered Jerusalem. We were asking, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We have followed his star from the east and have come to worship him. No one seemed to know anything. But we could tell we were creating a bit of trouble. No, it wasn't just a bit of trouble. Actually, we created somewhat of a panic. Maybe it had something to do with King Herod's knowledge that we were king makers and we were asking about a king. Or maybe the fact that we were specifically asking for the one born King of the Jews, which coincidentally, it's the same title Herod called himself. Anyway, considering all these things and the scale of our entrance, it was no surprise that Herod invited us to his palace as soon as we entered Jerusalem. After he had heard what we were asking, he inquired from the priests and religious scribes, where is this Messiah was to be born? They told him, Bethlehem. We unfolded our story to Herod. He wanted to know the exactly time that we saw the star for the first time. We told him it was 2 years previous. He sent us to Bethlehem and said, go and carefully search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. We went our way towards Bethlehem. The star went ahead of us just as it had before. I keep calling it a star. But this one was so different. It was so bright in the sky. It looked like a star. We didn't know what else to call it. And if you saw it, probably you will call it a star. So this star finally hovered right above Bethlehem. As we entered the town, we went toward the star until it finally rested right above a house. We stopped, looked at each other. The star had finally stopped. But our excitement was tempered by our not knowing what to expect next. So we unloaded our gifts and humbly entered the house where the king and his parents were staying. I'm not sure how to describe what happened next. When we saw the child and Mary, his mother, we were completely overwhelmed by God's presence. Have you ever walked into a place and felt touchable presence of God there? Have you? I had not until then. It wasn't a heaviness, but a thick, satisfying peace That must have come from the little Prince of Peace himself. I was so excited. I could have shouted if I hadn't had a lump in my throat right here that rendered me speechless. All of the empty things that I had willingly turned my life over to, all of the worries that I had allowed to consume my mind, all of my pride, and all of the hardship that we met and stared down as we met this long, long journey, all these things seemed to find their proper perspective at this moment. All of my darkest doubts were bleached white by the illuminated face of this little child. All of the reasons for even my being alive seems to funnel into this point in time. The weight of the moment demanded it. We fell down and worshiped. After moment, hours, I have no idea, we gave the little king his gifts. Gold, we acknowledge you, Jesus, as the reigning king. May this pure gold represent the purity and value of your holy and righteous rule and reign. Frankincense. It is used as incense in priestly duties and also as a healing agent. It is known that when frankincense is added to other healing oils, it intensifies the effects of those oils. Jesus, may you be blessed as the great high priest who intercedes and intervenes for us and as the healer of the nations. May you multiply your power among your people. Myrrh. Myrrh is used as medicine and also as a burial perfume. It is the principal ingredient in the temple anointing oil, as thick healing myrrh can only be harvested by beating and wounding the tree repeatedly. Jesus, we acknowledge, by the beating you took for us, by your wounds, we are healed. Our King, our priest, and our Savior. As King chooses, we have chosen him. What about you, my friend? Have you chosen him to be your King? If you have not, this morning you can choose him to be your King.
We bow low, we bow low, faces down to the ground in your presence, Lord. With our tears, we wash your feet. We bow low, we bow low, falling on our knees. We bow low, bow low to the King of Kings.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I just find it very important, vital, necessary to make the appeal today. Have you chosen Jesus as your King? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. The Bible says that in the end days or the end time, when everything is settled, that every single person is going to bow to him and confess him as Lord. But note this, that in that day, that everyone who confesses him as Lord and bow to him will not go to heaven with him. But every single person who's ever lived, who's ever denied him, who's ever moved in a different direction than God through Jesus Christ will confess him as Lord. What's so great about the Christmas story, we find in Philippians chapter 2. He says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of a man, as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but also now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who's at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God's at work. He's moving in so many significant ways. And there's been many times in every one of our lives that the Father has moved in such a way that you just knew. You knew that he was inviting you to something. It was an invitation, a visitation, so to speak. But I want to ask you, do you remember the last time God visited you and you missed it? The last time he spoke, the last time he moved, the last time he spoke something into your life and you ignored it or you thought about it and you just went on your way and forgot about it. That's not what Jesus' followers do. Jesus' followers follow Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Eternal Father, the Mighty God. That's what we do. That's who we are in Christ. Is that not right? We follow Jesus. We don't follow the flesh. We don't follow the world. We don't follow the culture. We follow Jesus. When you hear the story of the Magi, many of us have heard them called the wise men. And the reason why they're wise is not because they knew a bunch. No, the reason why they were wise is because what they knew, they practiced. That's what a wise man does. A wise man will hear the word of God and do the word of God. Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 7. The wise man is compared to the one who builds his house on the rock by hearing the word and doing the word of God. So that when the flood comes, when the trial comes, when the rain bursts and comes and beats against the house, and it might be the house of your life, it may be the house of your marriage, it may be the house of the church. But because we hear the word and we do the word, the scripture says we build our houses on the rock, and the rock is Jesus. And so when storms come, as hard as they may be, as tempting as they may be to do something other than follow him, we remain strong. Why? Because we know the word and we hear it and we do it. But the Bible says that a foolish person is someone who will hear the word and not do it. The foolish is the husband that hears the word to live with his wife in an understanding way and to honor her and to lay down his life, but doesn't do it. A foolish wife is one who would hear the word to respect her husband, to love him affectionately, as scripture says, and yet not do it. Or when God comes and says, hey, I really need this change in your life to take place. And you don't do it. To get rid of that sin, to get rid of that pride, to get rid of that lust, to get rid of that anger, to get rid of anything that would cause you not to walk in the wisdom of God. No, they were wise because they had heard the word and they saw what God, they saw the interpretation or fulfillment of the word and they chased the star to worship Jesus. That's who wise people are. They hear the word and they obey the word. And they worship. There are people who have no other gods before them. There's no idols in our lives. No, we worship him and him alone. And that's what they do. They're wise. They worship this king. He becomes their king and their Lord. And then they become something of a giver. They give their time, they give their resources, they give their talent, they give attention to the things of God, they give attention to people, they're engaged in people, not just for a job, not just for a social thing, but to have impact. And the scripture says, listen, he became a man and he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. And therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, the name by which every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And it was at the cross. It was at the cross where he did two things on his body. He bore your sin and he carried your sorrows. When we come to this Lord's table today as believers in Christ, We're really saying as we eat this, we're saying that he is my Lord, he's my Savior, and the body and the blood of Jesus has been so effectual in my life that I'm declaring Christ, and I'm declaring his crucifixion, and I'm declaring my own crucified life. That I'm no longer living for self, but I'm living for him. I'm no longer living for sin, but I'm living for righteousness. In a moment, we're going to take Lord's Supper together. And we do this today because I'm saying this because it's really, really important. If there's no Calvary, and I'm not talking about Calvary, I'm talking about the hill upon which Jesus died. If there's no cross, there's no Christmas. Do you understand that? If there's no cross, if there's no blood, if there's no broken body, if there's no sacrifice for sin, if there's no grave, if there's no empty grave in resurrection, there's no Christmas. And our celebration is in vain. Yeah, this is about Jesus coming as a baby this season, but ultimately it is about him becoming a man, a perfect man, and bearing the sins of the world, your sins and my sins. And the way you choose him as your king is you believe that what he did 2,000 years ago, he did just for you. And in that faith, just like the two boys, Eason and Fritsch, proclaimed faith today, proclaimed lordship of Jesus today, they're saying, listen, this God saved me, and I'm going to live for him. Because I've died, and I've been buried, and I've been raised up with Jesus. And it's all because of the body and blood of Jesus. Jesus said in the night, the Bible says that in the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. This is an observance. We call it the Lord's Supper. And Paul says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, as long as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we're proclaiming the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus and how effectual it is in our lives. And so when we take the bread and I eat it today, and I put it in my mouth, I'm saying that it availed for me. My sins were taken away, but also my sorrows. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard that one. But it says it in Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our iniquity, right? He took our sins away. We have no problem believing that. But will you believe that he also carried your sorrows and took away your grief? The sorrows that came from your poor decisions and the sinful lifestyle, but also the grief that was done to you in an innocent way, maybe as a boy or a girl or a grown-up or just whatever. God carried your sorrows away in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I know in a place like this, and because I know as a pastor for this place for 39 years, as there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of grief and there's a lot of sorrows that we seem to not be able to get over. But I'm telling you today that if you could come to this table today and believe it, that God bore the sorrows of my heart and my life and my history, that I'll take it today with this great faith, and perhaps today would be the day that I lay it down and no longer be yoked to what people have done to me or yoked to my past. The things that I did against Jesus. No, my friend, listen, this body was broken for you and your sin, and it was also broken for your sorrows. And today could be an awesome day of submitting to the lordship of Jesus and the kingly rule of Christ in your life by just simply partaking in faith. When we come to the cup, what we're saying is that the blood of Jesus availed for us. I take the cup, I drink it in remembrance of him. The blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin, takes it away, scripture says. It's the blood that sanctifies us, justifies us. And that word sanctification just means he makes us like Jesus. Justification means that he declares us holy, even when we're not. even when we're not, while we were sinners, while we were enemies, he died for us. The Bible says that by the blood of the Lamb, we overcome the enemy. So we find victory, we find salvation, we find deliverance. And taking this cup says, this availed for me, where God forgave me of all my sins. My King, my Lord, my Savior, my priest, the Son of Man who died for me. I really believe with all my heart when he says to humble yourselves like Christ did, that through humility you find Jesus. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? In just a moment, we're going to do Lord's Supper the way we do Lord's Supper. And that is just whenever you're ready, after we pray in just a moment, that you come and you get the elements. And some of you will go back to your seat, or some of you will stay and kind of move away from other folks getting the Lord's Supper. And this is an opportunity for you to take the supper with your friends and your families. And what you'll do is you'll take that bread, you'll take that cup, you'll gather in with your family or with someone else, church, and you'll eat the bread and you'll drink from the cup. But please don't miss, it's a declaration. It's a declaration of the death of Jesus. The Bible says we proclaim his death and how it availed to me. And how it availed for me. But the question, have you bowed to his lordship? Have you bowed to his kingly rule? You do that by just simply believing that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, he didn't do it just for the whole world. He did it just for you. And right now, perhaps God would birth that kind of faith in your heart to believe that what he did just for you, and that he would do that right now. Would take your breath away to come to faith that this great God did all of this just for you. It's the simplicity, of the gospel, that what you could not do for yourself and could never do, God did by sending his son as a sacrifice for your sin and mine. And so the invitation is twofold today. It is to make certain that I know him by confessing my sin, believing that he died just for me, and giving my life to him. And you may not bow low physically, but perhaps you would bow low spiritually to find the Savior and Lord that we're celebrating this season. And then the second thing is to come to the table in a manner worthy of the Lord, believing that his body and his blood availed for you. Father, I pray that you bless the bread, that you'd bless the cup today as folks come, take the element, go to the side or to their seats and take it together as couples, as friends, as family. I ask, O God, that you would be glorified, honored, and lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the men and the elders and their wives that will be manning the table to come on forward, the tables to come on forward now. Okay. Stephen is going to play for us as we go through. And whenever you're ready, I know that a lot of you have done this before, but whenever you're ready, you just come again to partake of this great supper that we celebrate today. Father, bless the moment, bless the time as families gather around the table of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. awesome. I'm just so glad that you got to be a part of today. Like we said last week and the last couple of weeks, really wanted to bring at least a little bit of Faces of Christmas to us today. And I'm really grateful for Bob Guasa. If your kids want an autograph from him, you can be in the foyer. No, my kid. But he will be in the foyer. So if you want to get a picture with the Magi today, I pray that your Christmas would just be awesome. Best ever. With family together, but also just where Jesus is the centerpiece, not your family, not the stuff of this world. Oh, important, gracious, grateful, but Jesus, the centerpiece of our lives today. Because is he not the centerpiece of history? Is he not the centerpiece of the church? Is he not the centerpiece of heaven? Let us worship this great God and Savior, and let's worship him at his birth. In the celebration of his birth. Let's stand together. We'll do the blessing and then we're dismissed. So this Christmas, the Lord, we got offering today at the doors, okay? So offering today, we didn't take it in the service. So yeah, don't forget. Thank you for the offerings that you do. And also before I do this blessing, I just need to let you know, if you'll be in prayer for the Andersons, I don't know if you remember, you know, Christine who plays the violin. Their oldest son passed away this morning about 3:00. Yeah, it's just a sudden illness over the last few weeks and month, and passed away this morning. So if you'll be in prayer for him. And I know there's just other folks that are struggling with some diagnosis, and just ask that you be in prayer for that. Let me do that right quick, okay? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we want to lift up the Andersons today in the loss of their son, their oldest son, Michael. Just ask that the blessing of God would be upon them in this day, that you bring great comfort. I pray that your spirit would move in a mighty way through their lives this very day. I pray that we as the church could come alongside and bring a little bit of the Lord's comfort with us to them. And I just want to thank you for their lives. I pray for others this Christmas season that are struggling with, again, sickness and diagnosis. As we pray, God, for the healing touch of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those that are facing some surgeries, we ask that you would bless them in a mighty way. Thank you, Father. And now, Lord, I just ask that you would bless our going and our coming. In Jesus' name. Lord, bless you, keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you, lift up his countenance towards you, and give you peace right now, right here. May he guard your going out, your coming. May you bless this Christmas day tomorrow in a new, fresh way for all of us. Celebrate the Lord.